Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways. And for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
And now I get to introduce Jamie Zimron. Jamie has been a lifelong pioneer for women's empowerment and applying Aikido, in which she holds a 6-degree black belt. And she applies Aikido to sports, business, holistic healing, and peace building. Please watch her previous session to get more on that. She is the creator of Kiai Golf and the Centered Way Incorporated, and is dedicated to bringing Aikido's principles of peaceful power and harmonious interrelationship to mainstream society. And we are going to learn about how she applies it to body work here. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for being here. And thanks to all of you who are watching or who will be watching. Appreciate that very much, and hope that you will learn a lot. I do want to say, you may notice I've got a little something going on here. About 4 weeks ago, I had a bicycle accident. Went flying and crashed on my chin. So I have a broken jaw in three places. It was wired shut until Monday of this week. So just a few days ago, I'm just starting to talk again. And I'm a speaker who couldn't speak at all. So I'm grateful I can talk and share this with you. If I just look a little funny, that's why I've still got sort of the braces in and not quite able to smile as much. I mentioned earlier that I think we know that whenever we have an injury or an illness, it is an experience that takes us so directly into our bodies and into managing our minds and using our minds to help us heal physically, keep our spirits up, manage our emotions, using the breath. That was quite a challenge, I shall say, with jaws wired shut. All I could do was breathe through my nose and managing anxiety. Boy, everything that people have been talking about, teaching about, delving into during the embodiment conference has been a very more direct experience than I would actually wish on anybody, but it's happening. We have miraculous healing powers within ourselves, and we can also help facilitate that in other people, which is really the subject of this session. So just as a little bit of background, I started training in Aikido when I was 21 years old, and we used to massage each other after class, just because, you know, you're rolling around, you get all sore, back hurt, shoulders, whatever. And people would say to me, "You got great hands, you ought to study massage and body work." And there was a school called the Lomi School. It's not there now, but it was a forerunner of somatic psychology. They incorporated Aikido, conscious movement, meditation, polarity therapy, gestalt therapy, Reiki and breath work, and intensive study of body work. So that was really my beginnings. And I was, in my 20s, pretty young. I opened my own Aikido school, and I opened my own bodywork practice. And as I was working on people's bodies, it became very clear pretty quickly that this was more than just a physical thing. Emotions would come up. It was like touching into the person. And the truth is that the one thing that's with us from the minute we're born to the minute we die is our body. You know, not our mom, not our dad, nobody. And in all of our better and worse moments. So our body is registering and recording everything that happens to us. That means that as we contact and touch the body, physically, somebody else, a therapist, a body worker from within, that we begin to contact the whole storehouse of what we've been registering. And that means our belief systems and our emotional experience. It could be our trauma, it could be our joys and successes, whatever it is, it's there in our bodies. I've certainly been aware of how tight and holding I am just to cope with what's been happening. And as I'm beginning to relax and open up, get my nervous system to relax out of trauma, very, very important. But so that's all in the body. There is nothing that happens that's not in our bodies. So anyways, I trained and as I started to work on people, I went, boy, I need to know more than I know because I'm touching into people's psyches, their psychology, their emotional experience. And at that point, I went back and I went back to school and I went to graduate school, did my master's degree in clinical psychology and have been working for over four decades already as a body worker and a somatic, soma being the body in Greek, somatic psychotherapist. So just to let you know what's going to happen in this session. And I hope that there are body workers and therapists who are tuning in and or people who are considering working in those fields and that this will be a benefit to you. So I want to relate some of Aikido and just some principles, concepts in the first part of this session, how we work therapeutically in that client-therapist relationship and what being centered or grounded or energy aware, somatically aware has to do with having as rich and beneficial experience as possible for yourself and for your clients, obviously. And then we're going to spend some time more towards the end doing a few practices and talking specifically about body work. We're going to be doing some body work. And if you have somebody who's there with you that you can work on, I have my friend here who's kind of in my pod, so it's safe to be together. I'm going to demonstrate with her, and you can also work on yourself, and I'll explain that because it's quality of touch. So with that, I think we'll get started. We'll kind of dive in. So Aikido is a martial art, and in the martial arts, you know, we face attack, and what comes up is our responses to that. Do we get afraid? Do we get angry? Do we get fearful? And it turns out that the mat is very much of a mirror. It's a reflection back to us of who we are. What are our responses? How do we feel? How do we relate? And in Aikido, we pair up all the time so that we're working with different people, different sizes, different personalities, different textures, different speeds, different pace, different smells, all kinds of things come up. And we need to find a way to interact with that person. And something could be said, something could be done in a way that doesn't feel good. And maybe we have kind of a chemistry or not. How do we work with different people and what comes up and to start to see yourself mirrored? That's what I mean about the mat being a mirror. You get to see yourself. So it's, I just want to bring up the idea of training in Aikido or a martial art. Could be something else. Aikido is very much this way because we pair up where we get to really, it's kind of like a self-therapy in a sense. We learn so much about ourselves if we're aware, and there's no way not to be aware because we're in kind of such close contact. And that's really a great gift. Aikido works with learning to develop a very relaxed body and a calm mind, a centered presence, using your breath, integrating your breath with your movements, and extending, getting in touch and feeling the energy that's in your body that's flowing through your blood, through your breath, through the systems of your body, and breathing and being able to extend that energy to connect with the energy of the universe, we say, but the energy that's above and that's below and it's all around us, heaven and earth, and to feel that there's an interchange, that our center in our belly is like what's called in Japanese an ocean of energy. And we can take energy in and from our center flow it through our arms and hands, connect that to another person. So we develop a lot of sensitivity. How much pressure can you apply? If you throw someone hard or fast, what pace can that person take? And we're constantly adjusting and tuning that, which is a really great skill to have as a therapist, as a body worker, as a healer of any sort, as a speaker to an audience. You need to be able to develop that kind of sensitivity, that connection. And the way to do that is to begin with a connection with yourself, being present in your own body with your own breath, knowing how to relax, to integrate the left and right sides of your body, the lower and upper parts of your body, your brain hemispheres, and those different qualities in the right and left brain, and what we call, you know, sort of yin and yang, masculine and feminine energies, to bring kind of differences and polarities together, and to be able to really be present and then connect with others. And that is a tremendous skill that we can develop through Aikido practice. So, you know, these movements and the training become vehicles to develop a really sound and coherent sense of ourselves, of other people, and really the workings of the world. And in that way, you know, we can be, we can live, we can work in ways that are strong, that are soft, that are graceful, that are empathetic and empathic, that are powerful, that are loving, that are supportive, and creative, life-giving, effective. These are all qualities, I think, that we want to develop. And they take, you know, a conscious engagement. And engagement with self and in Aikido, because we work with a partner, we get to bring that to the relationship with others. So the first point, really, is that a practice of Aikido is, in a sense, a self-therapy. And it doesn't mean that we wouldn't need to do more spiritual or therapeutic work, psychological work otherwise, but there is just such a level of engagement in with self and with and within relationship that is so beneficial and that will come in very handy as a therapist. So, you know, I mean, anybody who practices will tell you, you know, what you're dealing, you're in your body on the mat, you're in your body, you're dealing with your ego, you're dealing with your fears, your emotional responses and reactions, social interaction, relationship, the whole learning process. How do you learn? How do you grow? A sense of a right to be present, to take up space, to have effect, to have power, to be assertive, to be empowered. our different impulses, you know, to be sometimes aggressive or to maybe even want to harm, to be angry, to surrender, to give in, to be submissive, to lose power. All of these things come up. Relationship to authority, because we have a whole structure and then we have teachers, and how does that, how can that be a beneficial relationship or not? And of course, our sense of center and ground, alignment, wholeness and presence, thinking from the mind, moving with the body, connecting the mind and the body, qualities of aliveness, and also character, you know, because we're making choices all the time about how we respond, how we react, what's your purpose, what are your values, what's your alignment, where are you going, why? So these are all things that, you know, as you engage in a really conscious way, make you, I think, a very alive, conscious, more masterful human being. And then we want to take those things into being a therapist. So I want to go through in some real specifics, some qualities that I think are very relevant to being a good therapist and to, you know, managing the relationship, the client-therapist relationship, because it's such an important one. People are going to you as a therapist or a body worker because they want some help in some way. They want some assistance in growth, in healing, in self-knowledge, in self-development. And it could be healing, healing some traumas from the past or some developmental issues. That's why people are there, or current day issues that are going on. So one of the first things is that we develop through Aikido practice and that I think is so important is embodiment and energy awareness. Energy is, you know, we talk about energy a lot, but we really are this life energy in a body, and energy has qualities to it. It has vibrational frequency. Power of positive thinking. Positive thoughts have a measurably higher Hertz frequency. Neuroscientists are studying this than negative thoughts. Well, the Buddhists ranked emotions, higher emotions, lower emotions, and their base emotions, they were called, which would be, and they're not judgments, but it's just a measurable frequency. So anger, lust, greed, apathy, grief, these things are a lower measurable frequency when we start getting into things like compassion and joy, wholeness, oneness, love, serenity, peace. And those have a higher measurable frequency. So we're really dealing with those things. in people, and we talk about being low or being high or being open or being contracted. So energy awareness, a therapist who has energy awareness can glean information from the client as they enter the room and as they're working with them. How are they shaping themselves? How are they responding maybe to different questions or images? Really paying attention to both the body, reading the body, and the energy that's going on, because this is a tremendous source of information, even in, if it's only talk therapy, as opposed to kind of a more engaged physical kind of therapy. There you can notice, as if you're a tuned in therapist, energy aware therapist, you can notice that when there are discrepancies between a client's words and what they're really conveying, and then be aware to help to, with those energetic observations, to use that information in terms of the kinds of things that you say, the interventions that you make. You want to use your own state to know it. When you're centered and present, you can be very aware of how you feel, and then what are your responses to the client? And are they, so that you can differentiate and get information. Sometimes you may be picking up things from the client that they are not saying or that they are saying, and to be able to feed that back, and to also keep kind of your own boundaries in that sense and go, oh, you know, I usually feel like this. I'm starting to feel like this. This must have something to do with the client's experience. So that's really important information that you can use to facilitate them. The energy aware therapist can gauge the propriety and the effectiveness of their work by watching the client's responses verbally as well as behaviorally and energetically. So these are just really important things to be aware of. If it's talk therapy, you know, we think that talk therapy is just a head thing. Nobody is just a head. Everybody is a fully embodied person. And you can use imagery, can use breath. You can use these things and guide the clients to pay attention to their own body and to start to really be connected and to get information for themselves, from their own bodies. So that would be the start with the energy awareness. We learn centeredness and groundedness in Aikido. And those are qualities that enable you to be present and to sometimes not get blown away by your client. A lot of times there's a powerful emotion, powerful stories, powerful experiences. And it's so important that as a therapist that you can maintain your center, your ground, your balance, your calm. And then from that place, you provide that safe container for, and not, as I said, be blown away by the client. And then they are able to really engage with their own experience to a greater and greater degrees and to be able to process that through. And that is very, in certain ways, dependent on your groundedness and centeredness as a therapist. The therapist who's centered can differentiate between their needs and their responses and the client's. I was kind of talking about that a few minutes ago. And, it's so important that we are able to be fully present for the client. Sometimes a part of the, I think, you know, when we're working on childhood issues, a parent hasn't been very present or paid much attention or is preoccupied or is distracted. Having the experience of a therapist who's really there, who's really present, who's really interested, who's paying full attention. The phrase in Hebrew is beautiful for it, to pay attention. We say pay attention in English, but the word in Hebrew is to lasim lev, which means to put your heart to, which is a beautiful thing. So when we're in our center, and our center is our belly center or hara, it's also our heart center and our, you know, this is all center line, the mind. So there's nothing wrong with using your cognitive awareness and then having those all in alignment in this full centeredness, in this full integration in yourself as the therapist is it's kind of a model in certain ways, but it's a vessel, a vehicle that really helps clients to feel safe and to have a, what we would call a reparative experience, shall we say, and not kind of get re-traumatized by a therapist who's like, well, you know, drifting off or whatever. The other thing is when you are centered and present as the therapist, and let's say you do start getting kind of bored or a little sleepy or a little distracted, and you're going, oh, what's going on? Oh, that's information for you. this has something to do with the client's experience, and that can help lead you into the kinds of questions or interventions or things that you're going to do. So I think that that's a really interesting dynamics that go on. I think also is the more that you're centered and familiar with yourself, you can trust the kinds of intuitions, the kinds of thoughts, the kinds of ideas that you get in terms of what might be going on with the client and then in that interaction. And as you are able to trust your own responses and to express them in a way that's clean, centered, what can I say, that is coming from a really grounded, solid place, that is therapeutic for the client. Connection is something we work on a lot in Aikido. We're always blending and joining and being connected. We have a word, it's musubi, ki musubi, joining our energy. And, you know, we don't want to be separate. We want to be able to be connected. So the first connection is with self, and then the connection with the client. And the whole thing is to help clients to really be connected with themselves. We know that with trauma, and that can be varying degrees, there's usually some sense of disconnect, sometimes a full dissociation. How can we help to bring, help people to come into their own presence, into their own center, into their own body, to connect and to reconnect? And that really starts with our being connected. And it's a connection is a prerequisite for trust. And trust is absolutely essential for emotional expression, for self-revelation, and the emergence that we would talk about in psychology of unconscious material into the conscious. So all of these things are facilitated by the therapist being really connected, grounded, centered, connected. The therapeutic relationship is, you know, it's a really vulnerable, intimate thing. And if we're people are coming to us and we're asking people to share themselves in really in increasingly true, deep ways. So trust is so vitally important, and connection is really important to that. It's a part of, as I mentioned before, that sort of reparative experience. You know, there's attachment issues and that people have from when they were young. So just to facilitate that, being able to make connection and to have a sense of attachment start to grow and have a real relationship develop is so important, I think, for healing. Another thing that we learn in Aikido, we practice a lot, being relaxed, being natural, and being in a state of flow. I think it's so important that therapists be relaxed and be natural. So if you got, I don't know if you've ever been to a therapist who's kind of, you know, being real, and I'm seeing Sam's nodding her head, yeah. And they're being real clear about their boundaries and really kind of strict and being real professional. And maybe they're kind of tight or uptight or insecure or have kind of an affected manner. It's so hard to, from the client's point of view, and I've been both, yeah, to feel like, oh, I can really relax myself and I can trust and I can let go and I can let flow the things that are inside of me that need to come out. So, and I think the clients are tuned in, you know, we're all tuned into each other at an embodied level and at this energetic level. We're reading each other, client or therapist, those are just roles. we're still human beings who are really tuned into each other. So, you know, clients can sense fear and insecurity, rigidity, judgmentalness, all that stuff, ungroundedness in their therapist. And they may not feel so free to really get into their stuff and to reveal themselves. So I think this, you know, this is important. Relaxation facilitates a flow of energy, a flow of ideas, intuition. You know, all of these things are important. And important for the therapist to feel stable and not reactive. This is a part of that really safe ground, safe container, the words that we use, but that there's a feeling in the room, in the therapy room, that is one that really facilitates healing. Oh, there's so many things. I don't want to, you know, go do it too long. Let me just say this. There's another Aikido principle about harmonizing and using our energy. So, you know, we don't want to get into power struggles with our client. We don't want to be getting into conflicts with our client. We need to be aware when maybe some of our own counter transference is triggered. And so being able to kind of blend, to move with from a place of center and ground and connection is absolutely essential, so that the therapy office, the healing space, is one that is there to facilitate the client. So I hope that these are kind of clear, some kind of guidelines. I don't know if people have any questions or thoughts that they want to share at this point. Sam, you might want to check or put that in the chat. I'll give a couple examples as well from, you know, some clinical experience. I had a client once who was trying to decide whether to move in with her boyfriend. And we had talked about it for a number of sessions, and we went through how her parents had been divorced and she was so worried about the stability of the relationship. We did pros and cons, fears. We went through so many advantages, you know, and she still couldn't decide. And she really needed to decide because, you know, you have to sign contracts. Boyfriend wants to know, that landlords need to know. So she came for her next session. I said, you know what? We've talked as much as we can. Go ahead and lie down. So I put my mat down, she lays down and just, you know, start to breathe. And I'm sitting beside her and she just starts to breathe. As she's breathing, her body started to tighten up in a very natural way. It just what started to happen. And so she said, gosh, this is so weird. I feel like I'm getting really tight. Oh, God, I can't move. This is really weird. I can't move. And I'm just kind of being there and I go, And I noticed those words, I can't move. It's really stood out for me. So I said, well, say that again. She goes, I can't move. Keep breathing. As the more she keeps breathing, the more her body tightened up. And she's like, I can't move. And I said, say that really loud. She's, I can't move. Next thing you know, she's like, I can't move. And at that point, I sort of stopped and I said, I think you have your answer. She opened her eyes and she goes, oh my God, I can't move. I can't move. She had her answer. She wasn't moving. And so that's just such a great example of, we had tried the sort of cognitive approach and the verbal approach. We did everything we could, couldn't come to anything. And when we say that the body knows, the body has answers, boy, did her body have an answer. And all we needed to do was to just give her body an opportunity. And that's what came through. And when, you know, most sessions, I never know what's going to happen in a session until we're in it and until it's over, because it's an unfolding process. It has a flow, just like Aikido has a flow. And if we're able to be without any sense of unknown, I don't have the answers yet. I don't have to have the answers. And we're not sure where they're going to come from. But there is an intelligence in the body. There's an intelligence in the energy field. And if we can be together in a clear way in that, the information will come through. I spoke to a CEO group. We were talking about that earlier this morning, and a CEO approached me afterwards. He said, you know what? My son is 16 and he loves basketball and he's about to go into a senior year. He's hoping to get a basketball scholarship and he's already had two knee surgeries and he's just really, he's not that well recovered, but he's got to play if he's going to maybe get his golf, his basketball scholarship. Could you maybe do see him? Because, you know, we're not pressuring him one way or the other and he just can't decide what to do. So I said, sure. So he came for a session and we spent about an hour and a half and we talked and this and that. And then we just kind of started paying attention to his body and we sort of did some gestalt type therapy where he went into his knee and he let his knee speak. And as we kind of did some of that work, letting things, the information come through his body, different parts of his body, it was like what came through was, I can't play, you know, my knee is not good enough to play. And I still want to really be involved with my team. I don't want to miss that. And so we came up with a solution and he walked out of there really happy. He knew that he couldn't play that season. He still had a great basketball resume and he was going to see if he could be an assistant coach and stay involved with his team. And then if it got to where he felt better enough that he could play, he would do that. And he walked out so happy. And a couple days later, his father got in touch with me and he said, what did you do? I can't believe my kid is at peace and he knows what to do and he's taking action. And he's got his assistant coach lined up. Everything's fine. Like, what happened? And really, I just, you know, kind of consulted his body. Shall we say, wasn't that I was so brilliant, but his body knew. And, you know, I think that we do have to have training in how to do these things, but when we can do them and then the information will come through that needs to happen. So, you know, I could give you many, many examples, but I hope that gives some kinds of ideas. So Sam, is there anything that anybody's asking or wondering about at this point?
Yeah, there's a really specific question about resources to start Aikido, and kind of this is a very developed presentation because your Aikido connection has so much informed your psychotherapy, and this is a very advanced kind of Aikido interpretation. Maybe at the end, just to revisit kind of where do you start? And you mentioned as well, like massages after class, that touch, that information is great, but maybe more specific resources for beginners of Aikido.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we've been a little bit limited by the pandemic in terms of Aikido practice, but many dojos are holding classes and virtually online. There are dojos, I think so many more than when I started Aikido. There's dojos everywhere, and there are a lot of resources online if you Google here and there. So, you know, if people want to train, and actually, because so many places are holding virtual classes, it's possible to train not even in your actual locale these days and to get started. But I think that, you know, some of the most important practices are around centering. Finding your belly, finding your heart, finding this center line, and being able to connect to that. I do some of these trainings, a lot of people do, but you know, our vertical line and our gravity line and our connection to our legs and our feet and our organizing our left and right sides of our body and our lower and upper body, getting those things working in harmony, breathing practices. We're gonna do a little bit now to feel some flow coming through the body and qualities of touch. So those are some places to start, I would say. And yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah. Leah also asked, it seems really similar to kinesiology.
Kinesiology.
Thank you for saving me there. Approach. And so, yeah, the somatic and just body speaking, what is your body saying? Do you draw from that as well?
I do love kinesiology. You know, there's muscle testing, and I mean, I actually use this myself, where you can put your, this is the way I like to test myself, is I'll push here and I'll go, say yes, the answer is yes. And I go here and wow, when I say yes and I'm positive, it's really hard. I'm really pushing hard to try to separate my fingers. That's a yes. Everyone can try this. Okay. And now I say no. Whoa, it pops easily. So this is yes, this is no. And then I can start to ask certain questions, and I can find out, you know, if, you know, is this something that would be good for me? Is this something that feels right? Is this something that, oh, no, you know, and I'll even practice, you know, my name is Karen. Oh, it's not. My name is Jamie. Oh, you know, look how fast I did that. Something in me knows that I was trying to do that really fast. You know, yeah, my name is Jamie. You know, my name is Bob. Oh, it's not. So that's a sort of kinesiology thing. I'll give one more example of that. It's because we're going to start moving into a little bit of body work. My friend Elise is here. So
what are you, Thomas?
So Elise, if you wouldn't mind just stand right here. We haven't done any of this practices, but just try a stance. Just take so 1 foot forward. Come in a little bit more. We can see you. Good. So for everybody, you can find your center line. Through gravity and posture, sink into your belly, let that connect, and connect your belly to your forward thigh, extend through your back leg, and then find a sense of balance. It's kind of like an airplane, right? You want to have balanced wings, or, you know, you can't have a bird with a broken wing. It's very hard to fly. So we want to balance ourselves out. From the center, breathe and feel energy flowing through the arms and hands, flowing down through the legs and feet, and relating to yourself, not as just a body, but as really a conduit of energy, vessel, pipelines of energy. So feel that your arms aren't just arms, but this is a pipeline of energy. Your torso isn't just a torso, it's a whole, like, big giant pipeline of energy. Both legs are pipelines of energy. So they draw energy from the earth. We draw energy from above. We call it heaven and earth. And it connects. Everything kind of comes down, boom, to the center up here. This is what we call this ocean of energy. From there, we can flow energy out. We can take energy in. Same, we can draw energy up through the legs. We can send it down. So all of a sudden you start to feel that you're not this name or whatever. It's like, oh wow, I'm this whole energy being, and all of my limbs, all parts of me are like pipes or conduits of energy. So Elise, just move in a little bit, okay? And take that nice stance. You're strong, mm-hmm. You sure? Mm-hmm. Okay, I want you to say, I hate war.
I hate war.
Okay, and I'm gonna push on you. Say it again.
I hate war.
Really strong.
I hate war.
This is kinesiology. So she says, I hate war, and it's pretty easy to move her even though she was trying to be strong. Mm-hmm. This time, I want you to just find that place. And I want you to say, I love peace.
I love peace.
Okay. Well, she's really strong, you know? Wow, she's like really strong, yeah? And now just change it to I hate war.
Yeah.
All of a sudden she's weak. So this is kind of a kinesiology example of, it sounds like I hate war and I love peace might be the same, but I hate war is a negative way of presenting that. I love peace is a positive way. I hate stress. I love balance, you know, and you, the whole body responds to that, you know, like this, the whole body. Okay. So let's come back and I want to start working with qualities that we, from the center of touch, and this will have to do with body work. So actually what I'd like you to do, you can go to a wall and just push hard on the wall. And I want you to just like push as hard as you can on the wall. Push, push, push really hard. You're strong. Push, push. Feel what that feels like. A lot of effort, a lot of muscle power. And now we're going to just let that go. Take that beautiful centered stance here, here. And then just lightly touch the wall and just use your body pressure. So as I sink my center into my forward leg and feel what that feels like pushing into the wall. That's a whole different quality of contact. Okay. I hope you can feel that. So I have my massage table here. I have my little fox. Okay, here's my little guy. And let's say, and you can try this with a pillow or whatever, what it would be like if I'm gonna work on this person, right, this guy, and I start going, and pushing hard and trying to give him a nice strong massage, what that feels like. And you can see me efforting. Usually you'll find yourself up in your shoulders, pushing hard. As a body worker, this will tire you out. Body work is a physical labor in many ways. And a lot of body workers end up with problems in their wrists, their joints, their shoulders, their back. It's like, you know, you've got a certain amount of years in you. And what does this feel like to my poor little fox? You know, when I'm just like pushing on him so he can feel what that feels like. Now we're gonna again let that go. And I'm gonna approach my client from my center using my stance and the sense of flow of energy from here. And this is renewable energy, by the way. There's so much energy in the atmosphere that we can draw from and breathe and have that interchange, that exchange with. So now the way I touch is to bring my full self, a light touch, and then just gently moving in. And I can move in powerfully. If this is the person's connective tissue or muscles, now I'm really able to work into their body. And I can almost see him smiling here. It's really kind of funny. I'm getting all different response. And this is not hard on my body because I'm using my big muscles and I can apply a lot of pressure or a little pressure and move around. I can move around the table. It's kind of a dance, working on different parts of the body, but always watching my body mechanics and the energy flows that come from proper body mechanics. So I hope that's clear and that there's a completely different quality. Elise, I'll borrow you. This is a technique in Aikido. It's a wrist technique, a joint lock technique, okay? And it's called Nikyo, if anybody does Aikido. So the way I could actually really hurt her would be to go, yeah. And she's like, help. So, and that would be me getting really tight and forced. But I can be just relaxed, connected. We talked about connection. There's a feeling that it's not like her wrist is any different from me. I have it all connected to my body. I put my hand on, I don't just like me holding her. It's like there's a melding, a joining, and a breathing. And look at her go down. Okay, look at her go down. I'm using my whole body. And this is just, you know, this is an energetic, this energetic motion. And it's very, very powerful. And it's easy, it's sustainable. The person can receive that well, they don't get hurt, they even enjoy it. I can do that forever, you know, without hurting myself or tiring myself out. And in fact, I get energy, and it's a beautiful kind of exchange. So what I want to do is to move to some body work. So I'm going to have my client, Elise, is going to sit here. Good. All right. And if you don't have someone to work on, actually, you can move for a second. You could work on yourself. You can be sitting in your chair. You could be working on your own neck and feel what it's like to, like the way we pushed against the wall, to push in and be separate, be in duality. We're two different things, and I'm pushing on you, or you're pushing on your leg, you're pushing on your muscles. And notice, all of a sudden I get into my upper body and my biceps, and I'm pushing, and it's hard. Compared to I'm relaxed, use my center, I make contact first, and then move in. I can move in with my force. I can move in with my power. Now I can start to move my muscles. I can start to really do some nice work in my own leg. And I'm using first with the body, first the connection, first the flow. So there's a quality of contact that is so important when you're doing body work. And that could be doing body work on yourself. I had one of my body work teachers told me that I needed a massage every day. I said, oh, that's great. Are you paying? He said, no, from yourself. But I was like, wow, a massage every day for myself. And it's really an amazing thing to work on yourself. You know, I'm working on my jaws right now. And trust me, I mean, they're injured, right? I can't be doing anything, but I can do some really beautiful, loving, connected work. And with this quality of touch. And also, you know, everything is kind of locked up for me from this injury. I can do some really nice work on myself, okay? But it's not hard, and it's not against, it's with. There's always this quality of moving with and finding where things move. So if you do have someone you can work on or work on yourself, so here's my client. Now, how would this be if I go, oh, great, I'm gonna give you a neck massage, okay? Here we go. Do you see what happened? It's like I'm practically tagging her. What happened for you?
Well, I reacted because I feel like I'm kind of being intruded upon.
Yes.
Right? So
exactly.
It's just like I stiffen up and kind of clamp up.
So you could all see that. And that is obviously not the way to do it. If I come, it's like me and I'm going to do something to her. Then I go wham. And we haven't had any connection, none of that. And I'm just here doing this and pushing on her. She, like you saw her instantly tighten up. We have this muscle contraction, this resistance. And we're always in therapy and body work, we don't want to elicit resistance. We're trying to encourage connection, opening, safety, movement, flow, flexibility, pleasure, all of these things. So you can't see me so well because I'm behind her, but I'm connected in my body. And this is something you learn as you're doing yoga or doing Aikido, doing Qigong. You want to always be, this is embodiment, present first in your own body to be able to connect with her body. Yeah. Oh, she just started smiling. And that's because of the quality in my hands. Mm-hmm. And I want her to have a feeling that, not that like my hands are on her, but that, oh, she's almost got hands growing out of her shoulders. There's such a melding, such a joining, such a oneness, okay? And so that's the way that I'm going to start to work. And I want to encourage some movement here. So this is a certain way that I like to work. So I've got my thumb. I'm just kind of finding some places behind. And then I like to have my hand gently on her head and start to move her head around. Oh, look at that. Right there, stuck. What I don't want to do is to force and push through that. I'm listening. Because I'm centered, we were talking about in therapy, being able to listen. Pay attention. I go, oh, wow, she's kind of stuck there. So I don't want to keep forcing that. We're going to find some other ways to move around. Now I feel, oh, there's some tightness here. I'm using my fingers. I'm working into these muscles and using my whole body, not tightness up here or hard fingers. There's a strength. This is not just, you know, a light touch. But anyways, now we can start to move around and... oh, that's moving through better. Well, let's see, which way does she want to move? How could I facilitate her? Good. And so I'm listening, following, and helping her to move around. Now I'm starting to feel, oh, she could use a little something up front. Those muscles are holding. Now, these are all things that I'm getting just from listening to her body. Again, this is body work training. You want to do massage classes. You don't have to do a whole massage therapy school to take massage classes. But the idea is that I'm listening to the body and I'm in my body, I'm present in my body and able to work with her and to facilitate her. There we go. I just felt her letting go. You might have seen that happen. And I'm giving her a little bit of massage. I'm using my palms, but not just my palm. My palm is informed from my whole body, my whole presence. Again, this full quality of contact. And because I know what energy feels like, Aikido flowing through my arms, there, it's not just a hand. It's my full self and full breath and full presence. And I can gently start to help her come up. How are you doing, Elise?
Great.
So what's happening for you? What is this facilitating?
Well, it's like I just want my, it's like my body wants to go wherever you want to lead it. I notice the places where it's tight, and instead of tightening it more, because of the quality of your touch and the safety I feel with you, I just, like when you touch, I want to just relax into wherever it is that you're touching. And that feels wonderful. It feels very flowy.
Mm-hmm. So flow is a quality of Aikido. Yeah. And so, you know, I've been working at her for about 3 or 4 minutes. Look at her. She's looking pretty relaxed. And that's in just a matter of minutes. We haven't done this before, so that you know. And everything that she just said, I did not, pay her to say. This is just coming from direct experience. And she said she wants to go where I'm leading her. And honestly, I am, it's a real dance of following and leading. So I'm really listening with my hands and my whole self to her body. And so I'm following her and at the same time, also being able to lead her in certain ways. And the more that she's able to let go, that's a good thing. Now, depends on the session, depends what's going on. The person may just move into relaxation. The person may all of a sudden start to cry. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. Something may come up because they're starting to feel relaxed and open. Okay, thank you so much. So I hope that was instructive for you. I don't know if anybody has questions, observations, things that you saw in that kind of demonstration.
I think a good continuing question is, you spoke to body workers having a lot of right injuries, and that you said is mitigated by leading from the center. But when you do have an injury, or like your fingers hurt or your wrist is hurt, how does that shift the way you get to listen to someone else's body or notice like what that feedback is offering you?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, let me just bring Elise back for a minute. It's interesting, in my bike accident, I hurt this wrist a little bit, and go ahead and sit down. So it's got a little bit of something still going on. So I don't really want to use this wrist a whole lot. I also don't want to be distracted from it and go, well, gosh, I really can't work at all. So I may decide to use my inner arm or my elbow, and I'm not pushing and pressing there, but we have receptors, we have knowledge, I feel like there's little brains all over our bodies. And, you can do body work, Thai massage. People are using their feet. I sit on people. I use my butt. I use my elbows. I use my forearms. It's the quality of connection. This isn't hurting my wrist at all. And it's doing some really nice work for her. Yeah. So, when we start to, be really fully embodied and be very aware of every part of your body. In fact, I've developed a whole bodywork system, Sam. I hope sometime I'll come to your dojo, of doing Aikido doing bodywork in Aikido, not only in pins, but in the middle of techniques, because I think we want to encourage people all the time, and we want to be able to gain facility. I can use any part of my body to do all kinds of great things. You want a little more commercial? It helps a more sensual life, a more sexual life. You know, it's great to have access to all parts of your body and to connect and experience and to impact. And so if something's hurt, you've got alternatives. There's other ways. And I really can tell you from doing body work for so long, over 40 years, that I'm fine. You know, I've been able to create longevity in my body. Whereas I can remember probably, you know, 5-6 years in, I'm like, oh God, this is hurts. I'm getting sore. I'm getting tired. I'm not going to last very long. So that was part of the impetus to really learn how to bridge the kinds of ways that we train and the things that we learn in Aikido and being really centered and embodied and using connected kind of contact to preserve your own body as a body worker. I wanted to give, I'll give a couple, I don't know if there's another question. I want to give another couple really interesting examples of some things that can happen. So energy, we talk about energy. I have a few essential oil bottles here. And I remember thinking, ah, essential oils, you know, flour, whatever. I just kind of dismissed it. And then someone said to me about 20 years ago, you know, an essential oil is the blood of the plant. It's the blood of the plant. And blood is just such pure, complete life force. So this is pure distilled life energy. And that has so much intelligence. Native Americans knew that. Ayurvedics and Chinese herbalists know about the intelligence and the healing power in plants. So if this is the blood of the plant, oh my God, this is so powerful. And for me, they've become almost like you know, Native American allies. I use them in body work and I can put the oil on and start to work. We have an energy body and an auric body around the physical body. So one time I actually was at Bera Sensei's dojo, the shrine up in Seattle, and I trained and I walked out to the parking lot and this man came up to me. He said, oh, Sensei, it's so good to see you. And he was talking like this. I haven't seen you in a few years. And, you know, I really haven't trained for 3 years because I'm an electrician and I got electrocuted on this roof and I fell off the roof and then I broke things. And yeah. And so this is what I just started training again. And this is how he's talking the whole time. And I'm so happy to be training again. It's great to see you. And I'm like, well, that's really nice to see you. And I had an oil and it's called Trauma Life. And it was formulated to work with trauma. So I kind of just pulled out my Trauma Life bottle, put that on my hands, and I just kind of was just working with him. I asked him if I could, you know, you want to have permission? He said, oh, well, yeah, sure, please. And I started doing things, and all of a sudden, the intelligence in the plants, intelligence in me and the universe from him, I mean, all these things just started happening. And I just, then all of a sudden I kind of went like this. I just, you know, did some things that I do. I kind of get into this zone. I call a mad scientist zone. It's just like an energy connected zone, and went like this. And he went like that and boom. And then he landed and he was just standing there and he opened his eyes. And in this completely solid voice, he said, oh my God, where have I been for 3 years? And his voice wasn't all like this anymore. And I realized afterwards that we had sort of unelectrocuted him energetically. Now that didn't come from my mind. It didn't come from some thought. It was just like this whole energetic connected experience. Boom. And I had occasion to go back to the dojo a week later, saw him again, and it was holding. His voice was solid. He was different. So, you know, I once put a guy's shoulder in and he couldn't even touch his shoulder just by working on his feet with oils and through working on the shoulder area and the foot. And he was lying on the floor. It was the only place he could be. And I just kind of, you know, did work that I know how to do. And, you know, using the oil and mind and tension all connected, all of a sudden his shoulder went ka-glunk. And you could hear it on the floor. His wife came running from the other part of the house and said, what happened? I said, I don't know, I guess we just put his shoulder in. So incredible things can happen. And I could give you many examples, but I just want to encourage people to be connected, to know that there are so many levels of intelligence that are going on energetically, somatically, mind, body, spirit-wise, emotionally, and that there are ways that when we can be really present, really connected, and with a very pure heart and conscious, that great things can happen, things that we wouldn't imagine. There's so much potential and so much possibility.
Can you share a little bit more about how that feels when you work through it? You mentioned, right, Elise being stuck in that one spot a little. You mentioned this practitioner's voice being very, very different and not grounded. But when you meet that tension in someone's body, like kind of how are the other ways that it may manifest?
That those tensions manifest? It's like, I don't know, it's like feeling a resistance, feeling like something's stuck, feeling like something's off, something's not right. And I firmly believe that we want to be okay. The body wants to be okay and knows how to be okay and just wants to be okay. And that's, you've got a neurological function to it. So usually when I'm working on somebody, you know, I'll feel those kind of resistances and we want to find some ways sometimes to melt and dissolve through it, to work around it, to find some other way into it, but and give some time maybe for something to open up, to release, to allow. And that happens from these feelings of safety and trust and connection. And then something moves and moves through. And so I usually, when I'm working on someone, let's say, I mean, I've worked on all kinds of aches, pains, injuries, things, traumas, and, you know, people just don't feel right. But again, they want to feel right. So I'll work until things, and all of a sudden the person goes, oh my God, that feels like my arm again. I mean, I'm working till, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm getting there. It's only been 4 weeks, but you know, I'm kind of there enough. I'm starting to feel a little bit like me again. And, you know, to get that feeling. And when someone says, oh man, that's kind of like, that feels like my leg again. I know that that healing is happening. Things are starting to feel right. The brain, the neurology is starting to recognize, oh, I'm all right. This is some principles of orthobiography that are really interesting, but we get things right and then kind of into their right place. And the body lets go. The body starts to function again. Peter Levine was one of my early trauma teachers as a psychotherapist back in the 1980s. And I'll never forget one, just such a powerful thing that I learned from him, which was, you know, having an image of what's going on and then have the opposite image of what's really right. And then so working between those two images and feelings in the body and to know that there was a time before this happened. So, you know, my jaws were fine. There was a time before I broke my jaw, you know, and I keep working with that and I will continue to work with it until, oh, okay, I feel okay. When my brain gets this and I start feeling, and I've had a few feelings like, and I have more than I did a week or two ago of like, oh, there's me again, you know? And so it's coming along. And there was a time before this happened. And that memory is very in the neurophysiological, neuromuscular system. We want to remember that. And then healing happens.
Yeah, you've definitely come through so strongly as you in these sessions. And I mean, I hope people know you are unstoppable and incredible. You can find more about Jamie's work and connect with her further at thecenteredway.com. And also please join our Facebook groups and coffee break sessions to just learn more about all the amazing teachers and speakers that we've had. It's an amazing collection of shared knowledge and resources that would be great to digest in your own time because it's way too much to do right now. And so please, your purchase is greatly appreciated. It is 50% off only during the conference. It goes up after. But please, if you do want to help contribute and support this work, because it is what a ton of people put on, there are different ways to donate to charities we support, as well as to the conference as well. If you're not fiscally able to purchase the whole library, that's totally understandable. If you work professionally in trauma, please contact us so that we can discuss more purchase details because we want this information to be accessible to you. And just again, Jamie, thank you so much. You may have not smiled as much as you normally would, but your presence, right, as you demonstrated, is so strong. And it does come through. We feel that energy. And thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Quickly, what is your top embodiment tip to leave us with?
My top embodiment tip is always to be centered, to get centered in your hara, your belly center and your heart center, and to start to really just enjoy that natural automatic presence, realness, ease, connection, commonality that comes through, clarity, So centering, I think, is my top embodiment tip. Find your center and drop into it.
Thank you. We will see you at the next session, Qigong for Health and Longevity with Natalia Kolesnikova on the Martial Arts and Healing Channel of the Embodiment Conference. Thanks for coming. Thank you, Jamie.
Arigato. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you all. Sleep well for me.